C1R, number 12A.
All right, we are in the middle of the Christianity aspect of the question and answers. We have seen Christianity is always at the focal point of the universe and man, and therefore questions that really are related to the universe come up here. What is that universe? What does it consist of, etc.? Is this universe which we behold as a material, sentient universe, the real universe? Is that the universe God has created, or is it not? If not, what is it? And if this is not the real universe, which then is the real universe? Can you hear the whole range of questions that come up here? So, we had as an overall epitome for all the Christianity questions, we had divine reality. Divine reality. We are asking now, what is the reality of being? So we can see here, we would have to consider all those questions which are coming up in practice. Practice is about God, is about the universe and man. Nobody comes to us for practice because God is not what God is. They don't come to us because Christ is not what Christ is. They come to us because they live and move in a universe which doesn't seem to be a very happy universe, a very comfortable universe, and therefore in which they don't feel at home, which seems to give problems to each one of us. And therefore we must see now, what is the nature of this material universe? What is the true universe? What is divine reality? That divine reality has first been contemplated through the first three questions from the standpoint of Christian Science, namely from that standpoint of practical Christianity. How can we deal with that universe which is rotten? So the main tone there in Christianity was the unreality of sinful corporeal humanity. How do we approach that question? And we saw that first we had Christianity as Christianity saying, well, that universe of corporeal sinful humanity, that universe of sin, sickness and death is really unreal, and Jesus proved it to be unreal. He made the demonstration to show forth that it is unreal. And through seven tones, Mrs. Eddy was building up the whole question, showing how we too can make it unreal to us, or see the unreality of it. Then we saw that we also have to see that what is then, or how do we then deal with that unreality if it considers man or the mortal, our mortality? Is there a reality about that? And so we had the question, what is man? Bringing out the sense, really, that the true idea man would be that which would deal with the mortal sense of man, that the true idea man would free us and heal us of a mortal sense of man, so that the mortal disappears and the immortal appears, in the measure as we have that mind of Christ when we contemplate the idea of man through the lens of science. Jesus beheld, that's the lens of science, Jesus beheld in science the perfect men. Which brought us to the insight that actually the bodily, corporeal sense of the universe is a false statement, word of that universe, Christianity, that the corporeal sense, a bodily sense, is a false sense and really should be exchanged for the spiritual identity of the universe, so that we only contemplate spiritual identities constituting the universe. If we can do that, then that opens up really absolute Christian science. It opens up that point where we have in absolute Christian science the overall epitome that reality is spiritual. So you can see we find a bridge really in the last question and answer. What is body and soul? They're stating that the universe is not a corporeal universe, but an incorporeal universe, and that incorporeal universe is a spiritual universe, a reflection of spirit, so that it brings us to the standpoint of absolute Christian science, where we begin to realize that only really the spiritual universe is real. Therefore, at this point, we go out from the reality of the spiritual, which would show us, first of all, what? Which would show us always from an absolute sense that therefore a material universe must be unreal. If we therefore again contemplate the universe, that universe really which seems to be a sentient universe, a universe matter that feels, that matter that thinks, matter that has sensation, that seems to be our universe in which we live, that we ask now, is this universe really the spiritual universe? Is this the real universe or not? And from an absolute standpoint, the answer is that it is not. If God is true and every mortal man a liar, because then we have the statement that the spiritual is real and that therefore anything else is unreal, that therefore there is no such a thing as a sentient or a material universe, a sentient universe, sorry, or a universe of material sensation. The question she asks here indicates that, is turning all around that subject. She says, does brain think? See, is matter full of thinking, of mind, a small mind naturally? Do nerves feel? Have nerves sensation? And is there intelligence in matter? The moment there is intelligence in matter, again, you have pain and pleasure, that the whole belief in pain and pleasure. So is there a sentient universe? And her answer is a straightforward no. That's the very first word in her answer. Her answer is no. Not if God is true and mortal man a liar. This definite answer, no, is quite symptomatic for all the three questions that come up here now under absolute Christian science, because absolute Christian science would say yes or no to a situation, and there is no doubt about it. So in absolute Christian science, absolute facts are, and the others are not. This tone must somehow be caught first. before one goes through the whole or wants to see the message of the whole answer. Within those few pages that the answer runs, actually it's quite a big answer, it's nearly four pages. Think of the big question, what is God? The answer is two lines. Think of this question. One sees it always gets more complex the more one gets into the question of error. There the explanation must always be much bigger. Well, within those few pages, the text is full of one tone. You see, we have said text interpretation is always that first one reads the whole text that belongs to a subject and first begins to sense what is the main pedal note, what is the main tone that always runs through, so that one has an overall tone on which everything balances. And when you read it through, you are quite surprised that within those four pages there are about 30 references that are always bringing out this very absolute answer of no, 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 no. It really says to the whole sentient universe, to the whole false universe, it says no. It doesn't say so much how to free itself from itself, but that, because that would be the level of Christian Science. Then when one would say, well, that wrong universe must somehow be redeemed, and then we would show the Christ idea redeeming that universe, just as you had it on the parallel question in Christian Science. You know, you remember there, Christianity, as Christianity was that question, is there no sin, which we said was saying, is there no sin, sickness and death? And the answer was not just no. The answer was that Jesus would prove that this universe of sin, sickness and death is unreal, and that he could establish in place of that unreal universe, could establish the real universe. Can you see the level of Christian Science there? And now the corresponding question here in absolute Christian Science, if you go horizontally on those questions, then the answer is not, does brain think and do nerves feel and is there intelligence in matter showing that the Christ will improve on that, but just saying, no, it isn't. Can you hear the absolute tone? Well, I am going to prove to you this absolute tone by just quickly reading those round about 30 statements that you find in the text, which gives you really that sense of absolute Christian Science, because that text is full of saying no to a situation, of saying is not, or cannot, or has not, or does not, or the tone nothing and nothingness, never. Can you hear these terms recur and recur all over again? So just for the sake of listening to that music, not for making notes that you can do yourself when you are at home, if you just think, all right, I will see what is on in those four pages, if really that tone is in it, you read quickly those four pages through, and within a quarter of an hour you have that list also in your own findings. So just listen what she says to that sentient universe, to that universe that says that matter has sensation, that matter can think, that matter is intelligent, that matter has within itself pains and pleasure and so on. Is this really a universe that is actual, that is real? And so she says, always no. All right, I read them till my breath goes out so quickly so that you hear the tone. She says, matter is non-intelligent. Brain lobes cannot think. Matter cannot perform the function of mind. Man is not mortal. What comes from God cannot be mortal. Matter is not self-existent. Matter is not the product of spirit. Matter cannot see, cannot feel, cannot hear, cannot taste, cannot smell. Matter is none, is not self-cognizant. Matter cannot feel itself, see itself, or understand itself. Matter can take no cognizance of matter. Darkness and chaos are the elements of nothingness. Black is not a color. It reflects no light. Evil has none of the divine hues. No identity, no power. The nothingness of matter is recognized. There is no place where God is not. Evil becomes nothing. Matter is devoid of sensation. Inharmony has no principle. God never made man capable of sin. Evil has no real basis. God is not the author of evil. Sin, sickness, and death are nothingness. Man is tributary to spirit and nothing else. Material sense never helps mortal. The contradictions do not change truth. Sin cannot sustain itself. Truth cannot support error. The divine principle of man never sins. Poof. Yes. You hear the tone? Huh? That's the absolute sense of Christian Science. That is not engaged to say, I'm going to prove that it is not. It just states that it is not, so that one is quite sure that there is no sentient universe, that has no reality. Yes. So, this whole question of a sentient universe is then also shown in 7 steps, and you have them in your illustrative material on page 4 at the bottom. There you have the 16th question: does brain think and nerves feel, and is there intelligence in matter? And in order to explain that it is not, she gives 7 steps. And I just want to go over those steps in a roundabout way, not in very detail. The very first point that she points out here is from the tone of mind again. She always starts when she has to declare something through the word order, where she says that, where the epitome is that matter is non-intelligence. Can you hear the tone of mind? Huh? Mind is intelligence, so matter is non-intelligence. It is a material human belief and cannot perform the functions of mind. So actually we would see that she would say that the sentient universe of matter is non-intelligent. It's a belief universe. Therefore, we could also say from an absolute point of view, the real universe is the universe wherein mind functions. Because matter cannot produce the functions of mind, and naturally, the true universe is the universe wherein mind functions. You have the mind faculties functioning. And in the text, she brings that out in so many words. Just that she says, intelligence cannot dwell in matter. Matter is non-intelligent. Brain lobs cannot think. Can you? It's just statement always that that material universe. You see, the epitomes all start, practically all start with matter, except one where it seems to be a bit different, because it is the sentient material universe that is under consideration. So this material sentient universe cannot perform the function of mind. It is non-intelligent. Then she goes on to the next step, to spirit. And our epitome here is that matter, again matter as that sentient universe, that matter has no selfhood. It is nothingness. It is nothingness. The only facts are therefore spirit. So again, it is shown here in the epitome always those two points, the what is not and that what is. So the sentient universe of matter has no selfhood. It is nothingness. Here we find in the text quite a lot of these statements about matter and spirit, matter being not, spirit being what it is. Here she speaks that matter is not self-existence, not the product of spirit. Can you see? Cannot see, feel, hear, taste, smell. Do you see? With that rendering of seeing, feeling, hearing, tasting, smelling, naturally, she indicates the material senses, therefore the world that is a sentient world. But she says it cannot, that material world cannot have these sensations. They cannot take cognizance of matter. On the other hand, she speaks about spirit as what? That the only facts are spirit and its innumerable creations. So again, she compares those two opposites and wants to bring out from an absolute standpoint, just saying that matter has nothing that could give it sensation. The only thing that is are the facts of spirit. She goes even on to talk about darkness and chaos are the elements of nothingness. That evil has none of the divine hues. You see, evil is always a counterfeit of spirit good. Again, she says, therefore, it is not evil. When the substance of spirit appears in Christian Science, the nothingness of matter is recognized. Again, showing it's always a fact, it's always a question from which side you look at that sentient universe. Are you going to look at it from the point of view of matter, or are you going to look at it from the point of view of spirit? If you look at it from the point of view of matter, then you must say that matter has no senses. If you look at it from the point of view of spirit, then you see a whole universe of spiritual facts and innumerable creations. So at that point she says that evil becomes nothing, namely the opposite of the somethingness of spirit. Again, that comparison, there is only darkness of vacuity, there is not a trace of heavenly tints if there is no spiritual reflection. Well, it's a long text, you could get rather tired by listening to it, because it always really goes over the same tone over and over. It seems that she really wanted to hammer it in, so to say, to the student, that he begins to understand, don't think that sentient universe is a real universe, that it is something, it is actually nothing. Yes. Then, having shown that standpoint of spirit, she goes to the standpoint of soul, and soul naturally is always that which is the fact about the counterfeit, namely sensation, and sensation in matter. So our epitome here is that matter is devoid of sensation. Material sense is unreal. Always when it comes to sensation, as you know, then that's the counterfeit of soul. What is sensation actually? This is a point that is brought out in the textbook over and over, which is quite interesting. Namely, if one takes the counterfeit of mind, which is mortal mind, and if one takes the counterfeit of spirit, which is matter, and commingles them, you arrive at the counterfeit of soul. Namely, if we believe that matter has mind within itself, that mind, small m, is in matter, then that matter begins to think, and when it begins to think, it begins to feel, and it feels pain and pleasure, it is becomes sentient. So that's always that trinity of error that goes right through the textbook. You see that very clearly in the 12th chapter. They're all there. Mrs. Eddy always builds up that subject that way, when the negative, and shows that everything starts really with mortal mind, that the objective sense of mortal mind is matter. And if we go on in that line of incorrect reasoning and mingle mortal mind with matter and believe that mortal mind is in matter, soul is never in something. So if we believe the very opposite, that mortal mind is in matter, we have sensation, soul. So can you see that those three synonymous terms are so important? We have said the other day, when we are considering really the definition of God, we said that mind, spirit, soul depict the nature of God, and life, truth, and love, the essence or demonstration of God. So without mind, spirit, soul, we can never really demonstrate life, truth, and love. Or we would, or without mind, spirit, soul, we would demonstrate life in matter. See? Or truth in matter, or love in matter, because we have not cleared up first the nature of God, mind, spirit, soul. So the very opposite here must also be seen, that error builds itself up first through those three counterfeits. It says, instead of divine mind, there is mortal mind, or the human mind, or just mind, small m. Where is that mind? Is it somewhere in the air? Oh no, it is in matter, the counterfeit of spirit. And when it is in matter, then that matter begins to have sensation, and you have a sentient universe.